Dublin's Talking Sport.
Welcome to Dublin's Talking Sports podcast with me, Ken Doherty, and my good friend, Reggie Corrigan. Thanks for tuning in to catch up on the latest GAA, football, rugby, and all the crack. Enjoy the show, and don't forget, rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Another great show for you to catch up on this week. We have Deirdre Smith on golf, Victor Costello discussing Leinster's prospects in the Heineken Cup final against La Rochelle. Sean Lane and Ronan McLaughlin join us in GAA in studio. Download now wherever you get your podcasts from.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Morning, Ken.
A Saturday morning like that.
Morning, Sean.
The sun shining in Dublin's Docklands, Ken. There wouldn't be too much wrong with you. Now, the term Super Saturday, if ever it was apt for sport, it's today. Mm. So much choice and that. Let's start with the rugby, shall we? Leinster looking to put a fifth star on their shirts for next season, taking on Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle. That's going to be some occasion in Marseille.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an amazing occasion. Really looking forward to that one. You know, Ronan O'Gara's done a brilliant job, hasn't he, with La Rochelle. And, of course, Leo Cullen and the boys continue to dominate the world of especially European rugby. And, of course, they've been doing so well over the last few years. I fancy Leinster, though. I really do. I think Leinster will win. But I think it's going to be a really close game, you know.
I think one aspect of it may be the temperatures. It's going to be very, very hot down there in the south of France, and there's talk of water breaks and whatnot in the game. Victor Costello can fill us in a little bit more on that later on, but that could be a key factor in the game itself.
Yeah, it could be. It's always very difficult. I mean, remember all those years ago in USA 94 with the poor players, like playing in that amount of heat on the pitch was quite ridiculous, you know, with the dehydration. But I'm sure the both teams would be well prepared in any way, you know. They would have taken that into account. And knowing Ronan O'Gara and Leo Cullen, they're very meticulous in the preparation. And there'd be no stone unturned, like, you know. But, it should be a cracking match. I'm really looking forward to it, I must say.
Yeah, speaking of US 94, I was in the company of one of the legends, one of the great characters of that particular tournament, Paul McGrath, last night. It was at Tallaght Stadium for Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne. So you're tipping the kit manufacturers in Leinster to have to stitch in that extra star then for next season?
Yeah, it'd be nice having it, wouldn't it, on the old jersey, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I said, I think it's going to be close. But, you know, Ronan O'Gara has done a fantastic job. He's been a great, and he's learned his trade as well. Of course, he's gone to New Zealand. He's really learned his trade. He's got a great chance now of actually, and one sort of more happier than Ronan O'Gara to overturn Leinster, that's for sure. But it should be a wonderful final. I'm sure Reggie and Victor are really looking forward to it as well, you know.
I'm sure they are. Kickoff there in the south of France is at 4:45 this evening. It's been a good weekend so far for the French, because Lyon beat Toulon by 30 points to 12 to win the Challenge Cup decider last night. Hopefully not an omen for this evening. Staying with France, but moving to the country in football terms, I know, Ken, you are absolutely so much looking forward to the Champions League final tonight.
Probably not really. I know a lot of my friends, there's been pictures from Dublin Airport. It's absolutely rammed with Scousers going over there. Dublin Scousers, you know, going over to Paris for the Champions League final tonight. It should be amazing. You know, I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be electric. And no doubt there'll be probably a lot more Liverpool supporters than there will be Real Madrid supporters. You know what they're like. They get where water wouldn't, Declan, you know. So, no, it should be. I'm really looking forward. It's going to be a great match. Both teams are very, you know, very exciting, very entertaining to watch. They've got, great forwards. Always, there's going to be plenty of goals in it for sure, you know. And
so.
Benzema is on fire. I think so. I think there's going to be plenty of goals. Yeah, I fancy a draw, actually. I fancy a 2-2 draw, and it will go into extra time. But I think there's going to be plenty of goals, particularly with the likes of Benzema being on fire, Salah and Mane and Jota will probably play, I'd say, up front with him, and maybe Diaz as well. That Diaz has been a great sort of influence on the team since he came in as well. So I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very highly entertaining. But I think we're going to have plenty of goals for sure. Yeah, definitely.
And a third trophy on the season on the line for Liverpool tonight as well.
Yeah.
Shades of 99, of course, with your beloved Manchester United, which is in the script to say. So I said that now. Thank you very much, Jane. The disappointment of losing out so narrowly in the league last week, that'll be a huge source of inspiration to the Liverpool players tonight to get the
job. Well, you would, it's one or the other, isn't it? They're either going to be extra determined, if that's possible, or they're going to be, you know, it'll sort of add a little bit more pressure to them. I don't know, but I think they've been fantastic all season. They were very, very unlucky not to win the league, to be honest, you know. And that's very hard for a Manchester United fan to say. But I thought they played brilliantly all season. As Man City, they pushed each other all the way, you know, like continuing to keep up, you know, not winning and of course, or to keep up winning and gathering points and pushing each other right to the last match of the season. It's been a wonderful Premiership this year. And I think Liverpool, they probably, you know, you would say they probably deserve it to win the Champions League the way they play it and to win the treble. But it wouldn't be the same treble as 99 then. Please don't compare it. You know, of course, Man United winning the league, you know, that's the, that's the second big one, you know. So the two cups, you know what I mean? They were just an afterthought, you know.
I wasn't even going to go down that road and open that can of worms,
swear, you know,
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I really wasn't. But I'm old enough, Ken, to remember the last time they played in Paris. It was
1981. Yeah.
It was in the Stade.
Wow.
It was in the Parc des Princes then, of course, where they used to play the rugby as well. Sean Lane, 1981, 1-0 win for Liverpool.
The day Ray Kennedy got a goal.
I'm not too sure whether it is or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not having a great time, Ken. Last week you were concentrating on Manchester City winning the Premiership, and we're talking about Liverpool winning the Champions League. The excitement and everything that went with last Sunday was incredible.
Yeah.
You could never see. I would have thought
since
Coutinho scored for Villa, the second one. Never see a way back for City, but getting back, they did.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And they've got some class players. Like, I mean, it was very impressive. It was very similar to actually when they won the league for the first time, when Aguero scored for Mancini's Man City at the time. You know, the way they came back against QPR that day. But yeah, it was so exciting. It really was. And that's what, you know, the Premiership gives. Like, it's just end-to-end, isn't it? And I must say, you know, Man City, the players could have, like, just got very, very deflated from 2-0 down with, you know, what was it, 15, 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
But they drove on and shows their determination and shows their influence of Pep Guardiola. What a magnificent coach he's been, you know, throughout the time with Manchester City. Yes, he's had a lot of money to spend. He's brought in some good players, but also he's coached some great players. You know, he's made those good players into great players. And Klopp, I think, has done the same with Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no doubt about that. They're two wonderful coaches. They're great to have in the Premiership. They bring a lot to the Premiership. And, you know, it's been a wonderful season. And I thought Liverpool were very, very unlucky. But Man City, they just they did the job and showed a lot of grit and determination to score. And I was glad they did. It was like sort of you were seeing a rock in a hard place last week. But in the end, to all my Liverpool friends and who were on the way to Paris, and there's lots of them, and I'll be getting lots of WhatsApp messages. But come on, Real Madrid.
Of course, the thing about it is, in any other era, lads, I mean, Jurgen Klopp would probably have three league titles maybe at this stage to his credit instead of the one that he just has, which is testament to Manchester City. But Sean, when they look back at this season, obviously it's been a success for City in terms of winning the Premier League, but they'll have nightmares about Europe and Real Madrid the way that finished up.
There's no doubt they will and gave it away. But Ken, I suppose the big real question here now is you know, with City and Liverpool having gone so far ahead, I'll put my hand on my heart as well. I follow Manchester United as well, so we've an awful long way to go to catch up.
Oh yeah.
A new manager, and we know that, I think, and everybody does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as long as we're not talking next year, Sean, about United staying up into the Premiership.
I think we'd be happy. We'd be, you know, talking, I mean, if that's the case.
you know, they know they, as long as they're not, they're avoiding relegation with the likes of Everton and and Leeds or whatever next year, you know. But anyway, now I think you know, with the new man coming in, I don't know. We don't know what to expect, do we? I just hope that he sort of brings a steeliness and a no nonsense sort of to that dressing room. And I think that's what they need, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. But I must say, I tell you one story about Jurgen Klopp. And actually, when he came to the Premiership, it was on the advice of actually Alex Ferguson, you know, because he told me that, you know, he met him at the managers and he came and he said, do you think I'd be, you know, the Premiership be good for me? This one, he was still in Germany. And Ferguson told him, he says, without a doubt, he says, you've got to come to the Premiership. You know, it's the only place. It's the only place for you, you know. And they're actually quite good friends, Ferguson and Klopp, you know. But Klopp, in a recent interview, he says, when I met him first and he told me that, he says, I couldn't understand the word he was saying. He says, my Scottish wasn't up to speed at the time. But he says, working with Andy Robinson and Kenny Dalglish over the last few years, he said, I've got to understand him a little bit better now when he speaks.
To turn our attention to one of the other major sporting events of the day that'll preoccupy us. It's the Heineken Cup Final. Leinster bidding for their fifth title this afternoon against Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle. Delighted to be joined on the line by former Leinster and Irish international, as well as Olympian, of course, Victor Costello. Very good morning to you, Victor.
Morning to you, Declan.
Very well. How are things with you today?
Things are good. I just noticed in my local garage this morning, I was the last. I got the last patio gas cylinder. So obviously, there's a lot of people in the neighbourhood planning a very entertaining barbecue today with all the sport that's on. Yeah. So I'm sure I annoyed people, but or else I'm the last person.
Yeah, but I tell you, it for rugby fans in general, it's like Christmas Day today, isn't it? It's the biggest, most important day of the year, and Leinster are there going for to. Look for that fifth title against Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle. So many subplots to this one, Victor, of course. But the team news from Leinster, unchanged from the team in the semi-final, which means both James Lowe and Tadhg Furlan have shaken off their injuries to be selected for Leo Cullen's team. That's a huge boost to this team and the squad.
Absolutely. There was a lot of speculation about Tadhg Furlan, particularly because of the ankle injury. And you know, nobody really can get into the coach's head the week of a final. But with Healy playing tight head last week and with Tadhg Furlan starting and not being on the bench, you'd have to think that Tadhg Furlan is not 100% right, but certainly going to start to see how many minutes they can get out of him. Let's not forget, we're looking at 30 degrees down there as well. So, you know, hydration is going to be an issue. And you've got to factor in the hydration on the personnel on the bench throughout the game. Are you better off starting? Are you better off being on the bench? So it's been a real player management week for both teams. And, you know, I think having them both starting on the team is a fantastic boost of confidence to kind of take up where they left off in that fantastic semi-final. And if you look at the rest of the bench, Declan, you've got Ruddock there, huge experience, you know, as a captain. You know, he's a big physical man. To counteract the physical presence of the La Rochelle team. So it's been a really, even for the neutral observers, this competition has been a really, really high octane, as you say, subplots, but also the performances of every team in it. And now the final looks like it isn't going to disappoint either compared to the finals in the last couple of years.
Just looking at the stats over the course of the week, Victor, in relation to La Rochelle, they're very disciplined defensively in both quarter and semi-final. They conceded just 13 points. So Leinster have a lot of hard work to do to get this win this evening.
They have a huge amount of work to do. And in actual fact, I guess the pressure from Leinster comes from within. There's a lot of expectation there, and they've created this expectation. And I know a lot of Leinster fans are going down there to collect that cup and bring it back home to Dublin. And obviously there's a really tough 80 minutes in the meantime. That tough 80 minutes is going to be masterminded by a person who has masterminded many, many, many upsets in the history of this competition. I mean, I'm talking way back in the start. I mean, you know, Leinster fans going down thinking this is a done deal, is meat and drink to Ronan O'Gara. And you can see, even when La Rochelle were not pitched up against Leinster, you can see in every La Rochelle performance, that they are disciplined. They're very like the Munster of old. The sum is greater than the parts. And that motivation that O'Gara and include Dunica Ryan can bring to La Rochelle will certainly, their aim will be to spoil that party. And as I said, you know, their discipline in a really high-octane final with Wayne Barnes refereeing, don't forget, who can be volatile at the best of the times and sometimes in history has been a hometown ref. So, you know, O'Gara has got the smarts to disrupt this Leinster team, but I think Leinster got the consistency. But yes, discipline will be huge. You know, there's a lot of people I laugh about today and back here in Dublin. I know there's a huge tranche of fans have gone down there, but there's a lot of nervousness. You know, when we were pitched, when Leinster were pitched to play La Rochelle, there was an air of confidence. But I think Declan has, as the weeks and days have gone by, there's a lot more reservation. There's a lot more nerves between the fans. They're realizing, you know, this could be a long 80 minutes. It certainly isn't going to be an easy 80 minutes. It's going to be ebb and flow, but there's going to be a few scary moments. And as I said, Ronan O'Gara and the history and tradition he has in this competition. And of course, that generates more Irish interest from other provinces in the competition. But he's a very intelligent, a very motivated coach, and a coach on the ascendancy, and I'm sure Leo and Stu Lancaster and Robin McBride certainly are taking that into account as well as their own performance.
Morning, Victor. It's Sean here. How are you doing? La Rochelle have their own problems with a couple of injuries, with Carbarlo out and Victor Vito out, but Will Shelton will add big strength to their pack. I can see Porter and Furlong who's in, and Kelleher being under a fair bit of pressure. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's been watching Will Shelton. I mean, he had a season-ending injury, and on media soundbites, O'Gara was not committing as to whether it is actually season-ending. He had a cameo last weekend against Stade Francais, and you know, he's a very troublesome character. People talk about last year's game against La Rochelle. I mean, it was tough for Leinster, but they were well beaten. I mean, you know, the personnel were different. Sexton wasn't there, Jemison Gibson Park and so on. But in saying that, we talk about Leinster squad. I mean, they've got equal backups there in McGrath and Ross Byrne. So it ain't going to be that much of a difference. But yes, I mean, these guys are power players. You know, they're destructive power players. If Leinster get into that battle, get into that trench warfare, it will be trouble. And lo and behold, there'll probably be some hometown penalties given on the back of that.
Yeah.
So Leinster's going to try and do what they've done, the couple of second rooks, of course. But as you say, Sean, you know, Skelton's going to play this game to do damage, and he's going to try and do damage in the scrum. He's going to try and slow down that ball for Jemison Gibson Park, frustrate Johnny Sexton. You know, I know they're friends now, but that competitiveness has not gone away. They'll try and frustrate Sexton. You can be guaranteed that O'Gara has been in contact with Wayne Barnes throughout the week and his line officials to kind of point out irregularities in the scrum area, in the breakdown area, to put a little bit of dent in the confidence. I mean, how could you replicate what happened in the semi-final? The Leinster team have got to think that's not going to happen again. We're going to have dark moments here. We're going to be under the cosh, and how they react to that. Now, of course, they're a very professional team, how they react to it, but they cannot let emotions get into it. And if you see Skelton running over a Sexton or running over one of the Leinster players, they got to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and get on with the program and the process. But that's going to happen, and that's what he's there for, Sean. He's there to cause damage.
And I suppose if you're Ronan O'Gara, and I agree 100% with being a top class coach, and I think he's really, you know, in his infancy as far as his succession plan is concerned, with maybe we'll see him as the international manager at some stage. But he'll definitely have sleepless nights over the last couple of nights with Gibson Park and Johnny Sexton and how he'll play them.
I think he's too cool for sleepless nights, because I think he works so hard during the day that I think he's even said yesterday that they're in great shape and they're timing it right. Now, O'Gara's not one to play silly buggers in the press, you know, but, you know, this is meat and drink to him. The expectation level, Leinster being favourites, a lot of fans going down there, you know, by truck, by boat, by whatever way, car. This is meat and drink to O'Gara. I mean, you go back to 2006 when Leinster were in the semi-final against Munster in Lansdowne Road, in the old Lansdowne Road. Leinster probably had the better team, no doubt. No doubt had the better team. But it was a mindset. Like, the Munster team were terrified of losing that game. They were terrified. And they put 40 points on a fantastic Leinster side. Now, Leinster, of course, learned from it and got revenge a couple of years later. But that's where O'Gara lives. He lives in the in the kind of underdog scenario. Mm. And he'll motivate those players. He'll tell those players in the dressing room that, you know, these guys are coming down to take the cup home. They have it won. They've got a welcome home party organised, all of that. And that's where O'Gara's lived with Munster for years as the underdog. And teams have scratched their heads way back in the early days of the Munster success and gone, you know, this team is almost unstoppable, yet Leicester or Wasps and so on have always had the talent. So it's a replicating exactly what O'Gara's grown up with in this competition now he's facing as a coach. So I don't think he's going to have sleepless nights. I think Leo Cullen could have sleepless nights because he's the guy under pressure because he's a favourite. Going down to France, a hostile territory. Marseille is an industrial town. It's a vocal town. It's south of France, albeit the far side to La Rochelle. And never mind the heat. So, you know, the La Rochelle players are used to the heat. They don't have to travel as much. The Leicester team went down there on Thursday, new environment. So I think the pressure's on Leo here. I've no doubt Leicester can do it if they play a percentage of the way they have done and they've had the consistency. But sometimes the team that's done it the hard way, which is La Rochelle, with those injuries you've mentioned, Sean, sometimes in a final, it can work in your favour.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Leo Cullen there because a lot of the talk is, of course, about Ronan O'Gara on the other side. But like him, Leo is a man who's making his way quite successfully in the coaching game, ably assisted by Stuart Lancaster, it must be said. So another Heineken Cup success wouldn't do his future job prospects any harm either.
No, indeed. I mean, they're ironically two players who both played with each other for Ireland and then competed against each other for Munster and Leinster. And they've gone two different routes in their career. Leo has had enormous success and what a hard worker as a player and as a leader, as a captain, and now as a coach. And what he's done as a coach has never really been done before, where he's mixed up his coaching ticket. He's had Gervin Dempsey earlier on. He had Felipe Contepone, who's now leaving. Stu Lancaster, when Stu Lancaster was probably at a career low, not by his own doing in England. Robin McBride. Dennis Leamy. So he mixes up his coaching ticket and doesn't have the dominant factor as being the head coach per se. Whereas O'Gara hit the road and O'Gara went to Racing 1992. He went to Canterbury. As a coach or player going to New Zealand with probably one of the greatest world's club sides and having their ear is a phenomenal success before he even came to La Rochelle. So they've both gone different routes to end up to where they both are today. And both of them will have their own, I suppose, insecurities against each other. So when they're meeting there in the pitch beforehand, they'll have huge amount of respect, but also insecurities as to how this game is going to go and how their own personal careers have gone to this date. Because as you say, there's no doubt both of them could end up coaching Ireland for a very, very long time, should they desire to do so.
There's nothing better I like, Victor, in the summertime is going into certain sports shops, looking at the new jerseys as they come out, GAA and soccer in particular. But the Leinster rugby jersey is quite a nice one as well, it must be said. It'd be nice to have the little extra star on it next month, wouldn't it, when you go in to buy it in the shops?
Absolutely. But, you know, if you get 5 stars, you're going to look for the 6 star. And that's the way Leinster's gone the last 15, 20 years. I mean, the hunger for success, they tasted it in 2009. They wanted repetitively. You know, in our day, semi-finals and finals never really came around that often. These days, they come around pretty quickly. So that just shows you the desire since 2009. But, you know, if they do get that 5th star today, they will match Toulouse. And, of course, next year they'll want to beat Toulouse and again get that 6 star. But there's been many times we've gone in thinking there's going to be a 5th star, hoping for a 5th star. It ain't that hard. It ain't that easy to get. It's set up today for Leinster. You know, it's a beautiful day in Marseille. It's a beautiful day in Ireland. It's set up for Leinster, but these finals aren't easy. And, you know, it's going to be a long 80 minutes and hopefully an enjoyable 80 minutes.
Now two Gaelic games before we get into the nitty-gritty of 3 flagship Dublin teams in action this weekend. A mention of our competition again with thanks to AIG, who have given up their shirt sponsorship for the 3 Dublin teams in action this afternoon in support of the Sean Drummond appeal in aid of the cooler man who unfortunately had that tragic accident in London a few years ago. But we have two pairs of tickets to give away to this afternoon's doubleheader at Croke Park. And the question is, who are the Dublin County Champions in hurling and football for 2021? If you know the answer, you can text us here on the programme. The Just the number just escapes me at the moment, I'm sorry to say, but we'll come back to you on that in 1 second. Sorry, just a little bit caught unawares there with that. Yeah, you can text us or WhatsApp us on 087 188 1068 with your name and your contact details, and we'll have a winner for you before 10 o'clock. Right, to Croke Park then, and the action gets underway at 2:30 this afternoon. The TG Carr Ladies Leinster Senior Football Championship Final. Dublin and Meath meeting for the fourth time since last September. And who better to guide us through what should be another entertaining clash between the two than Aisling Clary, who is the PRO of the Leinster Ladies Gaelic Football Association. A very good morning to you, Aisling.
Morning, Deck. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. And thank you indeed for taking time out. Oh, I'm sure it's a very busy morning for you getting ready for the action in Croke Park this afternoon. But listen, it's worked out the way you would have wanted it, really. Dublin and Meath in the final, as I say, for the fourth time since last September. Not an awful lot between them in recent meetings, only a point in each game. Dublin winning by a point in Navan in the league, and Meath getting revenge in the championship in Parnell Park. So we can expect another tight encounter between the two this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, Dec. It's probably the first provincial final ever where we couldn't actually pick a winner. It could go to either of the teams depending on who gets the rub of the green, I think, which is really exciting for us, obviously, having a game in Croke Park in the first place. But yeah, having this game in front of us as well is very, very exciting. And I really, really hope supporters get out and support these two teams today. I know there's an awful lot of sport on, so... But these two teams are at the top of their game, and I really think if people can get out and support them today, they will not be disappointed.
It's a revival, of course, of the Leinster final last held in 2019. We haven't had a championship over the last couple of years due to, well, lack of senior teams and COVID, of course, as well. So it is nice to have the senior provincial championship back on the landscape again.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, COVID cancelled the last 2 years on us, unfortunately. So, but even saying that, like the competition in Leinster has been difficult in that there hasn't been a level playing field or enough teams at senior level in Leinster. So it's great that these two teams are back and that they're fighting, and that we had the games, the round robin games previous, including Westmeath as well. I think it's good for Leinster that we have our senior competition back running again, and hopefully looking at the intermediate competition, which starts this weekend as well at All-Ireland level, that hopefully we might have a fourth team in Leinster next year, all going well, of course.
Yes, indeed. And of course, between Dublin and Meath, they have all the titles between them, Dublin being the Leinster champions and Meath having won everything else, including the league most recently, only a couple of months ago in Croke Park as well.
Yeah, it's the last title Meath haven't won, and it's the last one Dublin have in their trophy case. So it's definitely going to a fierce battle. Neither are going to want to relent. I mean, we saw 3 weeks ago in Parnell Park, that was just a round robin game, and I know people were critical and said we kind of bigged it up a bit too much, but it was such an exciting game. It was so end to end, and the pace of it is what was most frightening, that just this game in Croke Park today could be absolutely electric. And as I said, both teams are going to want to win the trophy at the end of it all, you know.
Yeah, it gives themselves a tremendous confidence boost going into the TG Carr All-Ireland Senior Championship, which of course will commence in a couple of weeks' time as well. I'm sure you're quite a busy lady there this morning, putting the final touches to the preparation that such people like your good self must do on the day. We look forward to meeting up with you a little later in Croke Park for that game. Aisling, indeed, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us on the programme this morning.
No problem at all, Deck. Always a pleasure.
Thanks very much indeed there to Aisling Clary, the PRO of the Leinster Ladies Gaelic Football Association. 2:30 this afternoon is the throw, and I'll tell you, that is a game not to be missed. Only a point between them the last two occasions that they played, and it's really building up as a very nice rivalry indeed. Right, we're going to turn our attention now to the men's senior championship final, Dublin versus Kildare at Croke Park this evening. Delighted to finally catch up with Ronan McLaughlin of the Herald. We had our difficulties last week, but Ronan quite kindly has come into studio to join us this morning to look ahead to this afternoon's game. First of all, Ronan, good to see you, my friend. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks a million, Declan. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, a few technical issues last week. I was proven very elusive.
It is.
A bit like Al Brogan back in the day, but now looking forward to our chat.
Dublin's third championship game of 2022, beat Wexford in the first round, beat Meath in the provincial semi-final. In terms of championship, you look for step-on-step improvements all the way through. Have you seen that from this Dublin team in championship 2022 so far?
I think you'd have to be encouraged, Declan, but I think there's also the caveat that Wexford and Meath were particularly poor on both occasions. I couldn't understand Wexford's kick-out strategy the last day. They just kicked the ball down the middle. There didn't seem to be any plan of action at all. So that wasn't a challenge that Dublin would have been looking for. They would have been happy with the result, happy to move forward to the next day. And then Meath, I don't know what happened there. And apologies to any Meath listeners that you have in on the, or listen to the show. Meath were abject on the day. So it's very hard to know where Dublin are at. And that's the problem coming into a game like today's against a Kildare team that have probably had an encouraging year in terms of some of the results that they've had. Where Dublin are, they look to be coming more settled in terms of their lineup, which is what you would want to see as you're moving in towards the championship. But there's still an awful lot of questions to be answered.
20 years ago, on a blazing hot July afternoon, I think it was, in Croke Park, Colman Goggins skippered Dublin to win the Leinster title in front of a packed house. The sense of occasion, the atmosphere, everything about the day was special, as it has been for so many years. Now, we've seen the decline in the support level over the years as the competition has become less and less competitive. There's not an awful lot of enthusiasm really about this occasion, even though it is a Leinster final today, is there? Well, and I know the caveat, of course, is that the rugby is on and the Champions League final is on as well, but even so.
I think that's a fair point, Declan. There are other distractions, sporting distractions today, fair to say. But similarly, irrespective of that, the profile of the Leinster final has gone down. Perhaps Dublin supporters have been sated a bit by success, certainly when we won the Leinster final in 2002, and that still remains one of my favourite moments ever as a Dublin supporter. I was on the hill, and I know Sean Lane was on the hill as well. You might have been there too, and the players coming down and standing on top of the fences and feeling as one, and it was an unbelievable day. We just don't have that now, unfortunately. Now, still, we're Dublin supporters. I'm bringing my son Finn in today to the match, really looking forward to it. But that sense of occasion, sense of atmosphere just isn't there anymore. We'd love to see it. I think, yeah, Dublin fans have been spoiled. I think there's no two ways about that. But it's still a Leinster final, and it's still a game to look forward to, and it's still a game that isn't won by any means.
But finally, you would expect Dublin to march on as provincial champions once again this afternoon.
Looking at Kildare the last day, they looked very exposed down the middle. I think Dublin have the forwards who seem to be gelling or getting to that level of interplay that we would have come to experience down the years. That would be my hope. You would like to see Dublin winning by 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's really important, all right, to build the confidence into the All-Ireland series. I suppose our serious challengers are Kerry in many respects. They're in the Munster final this afternoon. They're leaving David Clifford out of their team to play Limerick. Going to turn our attention now to hurling and the utter disappointment of Dublin crashing out of the provincial championship last week, finishing fourth in their group behind Galway, Kilkenny and Wexford. Sean Lane, our regular hurling analyst and co-presenter this morning, is with us once again. Sean, the sense of deflation last week, I certainly, as a Dublin hurling supporter, hadn't felt it since the dark days of Ger Cunningham only a couple of short years ago. Where did it all go wrong for us?
Yeah, you know, it was very, look, you probably wouldn't have got this conversation out of me on Sunday morning, but yeah, look, very, very deflating, as you say, Declan. You know, let's point out, it was a good season. We lost 3 games out of 13. We beat Tippin, Turles, we won the Welsh Cup. I know it's a small competition. We drew at Waterford, who were flying at the time. We went to Wexford and beat them in the championship. But look, it totally deflated. The Kilkenny defeat in the league put us on a downward spin and spiral. And I also think the championship match did as well. And we really only just turned up to make up numbers in Galway, which was really, really disappointing, Declan.
You couldn't, in many respects, have seen Wexford get the result that they got against Kilkenny, in fairness, but they did. And here you have the teams who have finished third in their groups, Wexford and Leinster, Cork and Munster, who only a couple of weeks ago looked very much out of the championship. So it's remarkable what a difference a couple of weeks and a couple of games can make.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Declan. And look, we got a good few predictions right in the studio, but I certainly got the Wexford one wrong. But I must take my hats off to Wexford. They out-hurled Kilkenny, they out-fought them, which, as you know, doesn't happen very often. They were in Kilkenny's backyard, You know, great for Wexford Hurling, that you know, they're in the knockouts. Cork equally the same, you know, had two bad results. But the one thing you took out of the weekend is disappointing. All is we are in Dublin, and we certainly are. They have to be very similar down in Tipperary. They seem to just throw in the towel, haven't got a great start against Cork.
I tried to search the audio library this morning to go back a couple of weeks for the championship predictions. The team that you predicted to win the All-Ireland won't be winning it because they're not involved in it, which is Waterford, which is some fall from grace as well. Yeah. And it's one of the real big stories of the championship so far.
It is, and you know, we'll find out, I'd say, over the winter, Declan. We'll probably be able to write a book on it. Whatever happened, Waterford to me were one of the best teams. They had a fantastic league campaign. Didn't play particularly great against Tipperary, the first round of the championship, but got over it, won the second game. And all of a sudden, things start going downhill. So either something was said or somebody did something or whatever. You know, that's all, you know, will come out in the winter time. But it certainly was a huge fall from grace and unexplained, because the form that Waterford were shown was certainly, they were rubbing shoulders, and I think we all agreed with it, they were rubbing shoulders with Limerick and everybody predicted that. Now, isn't it great? We have a different team rubbing shoulders with Limerick now, it's Clare. So look at this, this is still going to be a very, very good championship.
Yeah, looking forward to the Munster final, Clare and Limerick, Kilkenny playing Galway in the Leinster final. You have Cork and Wexford in the mix. I was in Thurles last Sunday, very impressed with Cork. I know it was against a poorish enough Tipperary team, but Kingston has Cork back buzzing again. Young Lahan up front was outstanding. But just on the Dublin scene again, Sean, inevitable questions now about where we're going in terms of forwardness and who might lead us into that. Matty's had 4 years there. He's had a fair deal of success, the Galway victory 2019 especially, and beat them in Croke Park last year as well. But overall, you know, is he the man to continue to lead the team, or do you think we'll be looking for a new manager come the winter?
Well, look, you know, here in Dublin, we always had this idea of let's change the manager. I mean, the greatest lesson we learned was actually on the football side in 2009 with Pat Gilroy, who was beaten out the gate by Kerry by 17 points, and John Costos of this world stuck with him, and rightly so. And 2 years later, he bet the same team to win the football. Matty Kenny's a very good hurling manager. I mean, what he did with Coola, you know, we can't erase that from the records. He's an exceptionally good manager. We're all disappointed, there's no doubt about that, whether he should or whether he should, you know, that's a matter for John Costlow and Parnell Park.
What do you think,
let me say, if he was to go, that would be Matty's choice or a conversation with the county board, who would you look for in house? You'd have to look at Joe Fortune. He managed the minors and the 21s to Leinster titles. You know, has had a very, very good, exceptional year. We're talking about Wexford, how good they were. Well, Joe Fortune drew with them, and Westmeath drew with them. Pat Gilroy's name is one that, if he had the time now, you know, work commitments, you know, ruled him out a few times. But he's certainly an outside. Look, you've Eddie Brennan worked with Coola, you've Davy Fitzgerald, and you and me spoke this morning about it, perhaps Donald O'Cusick. But there has to be another plan as well, Declan. That's an immediate plan. But a bigger issue, from my perspective, from a long term, was that Laois and Offaly were in the minor Leinster final, and Kilkenny and Wexford were in the 20 final. Dublin didn't appear in either of them. And Galway, remember, don't play in the minor. So, you know, we need a plan to, you know, what we're going to do with the senior, but we also need a 4 or 5 year plan where we're going to be reaching Leinster finals at minor and under 20, so to ensure that we've young guys coming through as well. So we need to sit down and have a, you know, a real robust plan that stretches 4 or 5, like a strategic plan, rather than getting a new manager, because I just think that's a short fix that won't solve anything.
We're going to turn our attention now to golf, and we're delighted to be joined once again on the line by our regular golf correspondent, Deirdre Smith. A very good morning to you, Deirdre.
Morning, Declan. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Well, plenty happening in the world of golf, no doubt about it. Deirdre, let's start with the PGA last week and the overall performance of both Power and McIlroy.
Well, I'd say Seamus Power is a little bit happier than Rory McIlroy at this stage. Rory will certainly feel that the PGA was one that got away from him. You know, probably going into the last round, he felt he had to push for a very low score. And as it turned out, you know, he was right in the mix there with you know, after six holes, he had four birdies in a row and he was three under par. And I mean, he was still six off the lead at that stage. But who could have predicted what happened to Pereira, who kind of collapsed in the end? And 5 under was the score. And you know, McIlroy said himself, if I was 1 under for the last 12 holes, I would have been in a playoff. Mm. But look, you know, the kind of the trend recently has been that people have gone on to win from those positions, no matter, even though they're kind of rookies. Like Pereira had never won a major. You know, he hadn't even featured really on the PGA Tour. He was kind of came out of nowhere. And, you know, the trend recently has been that those guys have gone on to win then. And probably Rory felt the same would happen. But, I'd say Justin Thomas was licking his lips at 500 par in the clubhouse when he saw everybody come back to him and just took his chance really well. I mean, Seamus Power, another cut made at the major, but even better this time in a top 10. So, he's trending in the right direction and certainly feels he's capable of winning a major and he's admitted as much. So, look, it's all positive. We've huge expectations for Rory every time he plays. And I know he'll be disappointed with this one, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I suppose, good morning, Deirdre, Sean here. How are you doing? I suppose Justin Thomas, he was 7 down on Sunday morning. And it was a fantastic recovery to come all the way. And his performance then in the playoff, 2 birdies and a par in the 3 holes. It was some way to win a major.
Yeah, I mean, he was the class act in the field, you know, at that stage. You know, none of the Valitoras hadn't won a major. There were a number of guys there who hadn't won a major. They all fell away. But, you know, we've discussed kind of this over the last 12 months, 18 months. These guys are coming out on tour and they have no fear and they're going on to win. But this was one where that didn't happen and Thomas was waiting in the wings, and when he got his chance, I mean, what a shot to the 17th in the playoff when he hit
it.
I mean, he had you know, 3 yards of space there with a 3-wood, and he knocked it on there. I mean, Zalatoris played really well in the playoff too. I mean, he birdied all regulation driver and at 6 iron. But I think the birdie that Thomas made on the 13th was class. Where he was in the rough, he played out, he pitched into 6 feet or 8 feet, and he hauled the putt, and he just kept up with Zalatoris. And then he went on and hit the shot, a career shot. But it's the birdie he had on 13 that got the
I would certainly agree with you. And I suppose at the other end of the scale, poor old Tiger Woods, I mean, a sad day to see him withdrawing on the Sunday after a very poor performance. Firstly, having made the cut, but then having a very poor performance then on the Saturday.
Yeah, look, I wasn't always Tiger's greatest fan, but to be honest, in recent times, my admiration for him has grown. I mean, what a great player, what a determined player. You know, we don't really want him to become a kind of a ceremonial player now. He's too good for that. We want him to come onto the tour. We want him to compete, obviously. I mean, still draws massive crowds. He's great for the tour, but we'd like to see him competing and hopefully he'll get back to health and that he'll be able to actually compete.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, what a performance for him to even make the cut. I mean, he looked like every shot he played in the first 2 rounds, he was in pain. Look, I wish him all the best, and I hope he gets back to health first. And look, golf is secondary to one's health.
And just on the ladies' front end, Deirdre, the Bank of Hope in Las Vegas, the match play, any update on that, or how's that going?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a shame. Stephanie was played in it. Leon obviously took a break this week because the US Open next week. But this was a format I thought Stephanie could do really well in, because she would have grown up playing a lot of match play, especially here in the British Isles. We play a lot more match play than they do in other parts of the world. So she had 2 tied matches with ALM Kim and Megan Kang. They're huge. They're like, they're ranked 37 or 38 in the world, but Stephanie is 112 in the world. But she was beaten yesterday by Andrea Lee, who is only 108 in the world. So it's amazing. Anything can happen in match play, and unfortunately Stephanie is out. That'll give her a great confidence boost going into next week, into the US Open, the Women's US Open, which is really what it's about.
Thanks for listening to Dublin Stock and Sport on Sunshine 106.8 from myself, Ken, and Reggie. Have a good weekend.